Remember, there's no food or vitamin pill in the world that can do for you what excellent breathing patterns can do. Now, I should mention one other thing about oxygen, and that is the other essential component of healthy overall breathing is daily aerobic exercise. Now, remember, aerobic literally means to exercise with air. That's the literal definition. So running is fine, though it's a little bit stressful at times for people. Swimming is excellent. I personally found something I like even more that I also do in the pool, though. Of an aqua power system that I developed, which is simply a way to work out in the water where I don't have any of the compression, but I get the full aerobic workout and the strength workout as if I was lifting weights. It's very powerful. But you can find something for yourself. Look for something that you can do in almost any weather, that you can do consistently and daily, and that you can enjoy. That's the key. But by doing that, you can create the aerobic power that you really want for your body and, again, nurture your energy. I don't think I can stress enough, obviously, making sure you pick an exercise that's appropriate for where you are at your present level of health if you're going to do something like running or swimming. Talk to your doctor first, as always. Here's the second key principle of living health. It's the power of eating water-rich foods. What do I mean by that? Let's you and I use some common sense for a second. 70% of this planet is covered with what? Water. 80% of your body is made up of what? Answer is water. What do you think a large percentage of your diet should probably contain? You guessed it, water. You need to make certain that at least 70% of your diet is made up of foods that are rich in water. That means fresh fruits or vegetables or their juices that are hopefully freshly squeezed. Now, some people I know recommend that, yeah, water's great. You want to cleanse your system. So drink 8 or 10 or 12 glasses of water a day to flush out the system. This can often backfire. In the first place, most of the water that people go around drinking isn't exactly nurturing. Chances are, if you're drinking tap water, that it contains chlorine, fluoride, minerals, and other toxic substances. Drinking distilled water is often a good idea. But no matter what kind of water you're going to drink, you can't cleanse your system by drowning it. The amount of water you should drink, it should be dictated by your thirst. Instead of trying to flush your system by flooding it with tap water, all you have to do is eat foods that are naturally rich in water, what we call water content foods. There are only three kinds on the planet: fruits, vegetables, and sprouts. These will usually provide you with an abundance of water, that life-giving cleansing substance you can't live without. Listen, when people live on a diet that's low in water content foods, you can virtually guarantee that they're going to have some challenges with their health. I'll give you an example. Dr. Alexander Bryce, MD, stated in his book, The Laws of Life and Health, quote, "When too little fluid is supplied, the blood maintains a higher specific gravity, and the poisonous waste products of tissue or cell change are only cast off very imperfectly. The body is therefore poisoned by its own excretions, and it's not too much to say that the chief reason of this is because a sufficient amount of fluid has not been supplied to carry off in solution the waste matter that cells manufacture." What the heck does this mean? It means every single day, as we're here talking, cells are dying. They're being destroyed right now, and new cells are being created simultaneously. As I snap my fingers, 7 billion liver cells die that fast. But the good news is 7 billion healthy new ones are created as well. The waste from the old ones must be eliminated, not to mention the waste that we build by the way we eat. Most of us eat where we have such excess in our body has a hard time staying up with it. Unless you've got enough water to carry off that waste matter, it begins to accumulate in your circulatory system, and it causes you to have less oxygen and to literally poison yourself. Your diet should be consistently assisting your body with a process of cleansing rather than burdening it with indigestible foodstuffs. The buildup of waste products within the body promotes disease. One way to keep your bloodstream and body as free as possible from waste and toxic poisons is to limit the ingestion of those foods or non-foods that strain the eliminative organs of the body. The other way to deal with it is to provide enough water so the system can assist in diluting and eliminating these wastes. Let me read you some more from Dr. Bryce here. Quote, "There is no fluid known to chemists which can dissolve as many solid substances as water, which is indeed the best solvent in existence. If, therefore, sufficient quantities of it are supplied, the whole process of nutrition is stimulated because the paralyzing effect of toxic waste products is removed by their solution and subsequent excretion by the kidneys, skin, bowels, or lungs. If, on the contrary, these toxic materials are allowed to accumulate in the body, all sorts of diseases will arise." Unquote. So let me ask you a question. Why is heart disease our biggest killer? Why do we hear about people keeling over and dropping dead on a tennis court at the age of 40? One reason may be that they've spent a lifetime clogging their system. Remember, the quality of your life is dependent upon the quality of the life of your cells. If your bloodstream is filled with waste products, the resulting environment does not promote a strong, vibrant, healthy cell life, nor a biochemistry capable of creating a balanced emotional life for you as an individual. Let me give you one more example of a study, and then we'll wrap this up. Dr. Alexis Carroll, who was a Nobel Prize winner in 1912, and later on became a member of the Rockefeller Institute, set out to prove this theory that the quality of our life is the quality of life of our cells, that if we kept the fluids around our cells cleansed, that our cells could literally live forever. And he proved this by taking the tissue from live chickens. And by the way, these chickens would normally live about 11 years. And he found he could keep their cells alive indefinitely simply by keeping the cells free of their own waste and by supplying them with the nutrients and oxygen that they needed. These cells were kept alive for over 34 years. At the end of that time, the cells didn't die. The Rockefeller Institute finally decided, hey, we can keep these things alive forever, and so they decided to end the experiment. Alexis is probably getting old himself by that point. The point is this. Let me ask you a question. What percentage of your diet is made up of water-rich foods? Let's you and I do a little research on your diet and what it may be doing to you. Do yourself a favor. Grab your success journal right now. And what I want you to do is the following. I want you to take the next 2 to 3 minutes, stop this tape, and I want you to write down every single thing that has passed your lips in the last 24 hours. All foods, anything you have drunk, anything that's passed your lips, I want you to write down what you've taken in and the amounts. Take 2.5 to 3 minutes, stop the tape right now, come back after you fill this out. Please stop it and do it right now. You're going to find this very enlightening. Don't let this tape continue. Stop the tape now. Thank you. Okay, welcome back. I got a question for you. Take a look at your list, and I want you to circle all the things on your list that are primarily water-rich or water-content foods, okay? Now, what that means is anything that is a fruit or a vegetable or their juices or sprouts, anything else doesn't count. Milk does not count because in your system it is very thick. It is not something that flows. Water would count, yes. No, a beer does not count. Because it carries with it other things as well, okay? Circle only the things that have their natural water still in them. They're not completely cooked out. Go ahead and circle them. Okay, so now let me ask you a question. What percentage of your diet is made up of water-rich foods? Is it 80%? 70%? 50%? 25%? Or 15% or less? When I ask this in my seminars, I usually find that most people are eating about 15 to 20% of water content foods. And that's definitely higher than many of the people in the population as a whole. Now, let me just tell you something. And if you don't remember anything else I said, remember this. 15% water content is called suicide. I got to tell you something. If somewhere in the range of 70 to 80% of the foods you eat are not water content or water rich, then what you're doing is every single day clogging your system. I mean, think about it. 15% is suicide. And by the way, if you think I'm being melodramatic, if you don't believe me, just check out the statistics from cancer and heart disease and review what kinds of foods the National Academy of Sciences recommends you avoid and the amount of water content available in the foods they tell you to avoid versus the ones they tell you to eat. There's some clues there for you. Use your common sense. Listen, if you look to nature and you see the biggest and the most powerful animals, you're going to discover they're herbivores. The gorilla, the elephant, the rhinoceros, and so on all eat only water-rich foods. Herbivores live longer than carnivores, by the way. A building can only be as strong and as elegant as its parts. If you want to be alive, eat live foods. Doesn't that make sense? Listen, if you're wondering, well, how can I make sure that 70% of my diet consists of water content? That seems pretty difficult. It's actually simple. Just be certain from now on that you have a salad with every meal that you eat. Make fruit your snack instead of reaching for a candy bar. You'll feel the difference immediately in your body. It'll run more efficiently, and you'll have more energy than you ever dreamed of. Those are two of the living health principles. Try them for the next 10 days. Get yourself to follow through. Breathe in the ratio of inhale 1, hold 4, exhale 2, 10 times, 3 times during the day. 2, try for the next 10 days to make sure your diet is 70% water content or more. Make sure you have a salad with everything. Make fruit a major focus of what you eat. And watch what happens to your level of energy. It will blow your mind. You deserve physical wealth. What I mean by that is the power that comes from feeling vibrantly healthy and energetic. Just try it for 10 days. You'll be surprised what happens. It doesn't take a lot of discipline. It's not asking you too much just to breathe. You're going to do it anyway. Why not do it well? The bottom line is if you'll do it for these 10 days, you'll create a new results ritual, one that could affect the quality of your life even more so than anything else you learn in this entire tape program. And I think that's saying a lot, but I also think it's being accurate. And also remember this, that for every disciplined effort you take in life, there's a multiple reward. Discipline yourself in this way and reward yourself in every way. Enjoy your health. Until tomorrow, live with passion.
This program is continued on the next cassette.
Day 23. Today is a day that's critical. In fact, today could be a day that could change your life forever, because what we're going to talk about is how to increase your energy. Everything we've talked about in this tape program presupposes that you have the energy to follow through. The challenge is that for most people in life, what occurs is they've got all these great goals, all these great possibilities, all things they want to achieve, and yet most people barely have enough energy to get through the day. You know, they work hard all day long, 9 to 5, fight the traffic home, watch a little TV, and get a bite to eat and get to bed. And they don't have time to stay up and work on their goals, recondition themselves, make things work. I mean, the bottom line in life is to be able to do those things you need energy. Anything in life that has any value will require an investment on your part of energy. Most people in life fail not because they don't have the ability or the intelligence or the skill, but because most people run out of emotional gas while they're climbing the mountain of success. You don't want that to be you. So how do we go about making a change here? Well, I'd like to talk to you very briefly in this tape on at least just a couple of aspects of what I call my Living Health program. For almost 6 years now, I've been teaching people how to take control of their physical body. And the reason I did that is about 6 years ago, I was completely out of control in my physical body, as you know. 38 pounds overweight, but worse. Not only was I overweight, but I had virtually no energy whatsoever. I was the kind of guy that slept 8 hours and would still wake up tired. You know, the alarm clock would go off and I'd push that little button that's supposed to give you another 10 minutes two or three times as if it was really going to matter. But the bottom line was, I was intelligent. I really had desire to make my life work. But I just felt so lousy all the time, so tired, so weak. I wasn't tapping into that potential. So I want to share with you what turned me around, what absolutely shifted me. And I'll tell you, it wasn't just by reading a bunch of books. Because one of the things that came up when I wanted to change my life was I started to go out and read books on how to change myself physically. And I found so many massive contradictions, I couldn't believe it. And they were from equally qualified people. You know, this guy's an MD and this guy's an MD, and they both argue. One guy says, make sure you eat all kinds of protein. The other person's saying, don't eat excess protein. All it's going to do is make you tired and slow you down. It puts excess nitrogen in your body. Here's what you should do. And I went nuts because I couldn't figure out what to do until finally one day I decided I've had it. What I'm going to do is I'm going to read, I'm going to listen, I'm going to talk to people, but I'm going to judge by results. That I'm going to use common sense to dictate what really works for me in my own physical body. And what I decided to do is go find people who are like me, people who have been overweight and have become thin but had stayed thin for at least a couple of years. Not somebody just gone on a diet and lost weight. I mean, I could find lots of people like that, but they usually are heavier. In fact, statistics show, as I mentioned to you earlier, that when people go on diets, they really don't work. In fact, if you remember, that after 2 years, most people weigh at least 2 pounds more than they did before they went on the diet in the first place. In fact, what's the problem with dieting? Remember those first three letters in the word diet, die. That's a clue. Your brain probably says that might be painful. And since your brain's trying to avoid pain at almost any cost, it's probably going to avoid dieting too. So how do we take control? Well, the first thing we got to do is get a plan. Like anything else in life, you can't just hope. You got to have a plan that works and that produces results. So I really looked around to find some people, as I said, who are great role models, people who had produced the result that I really want. I didn't want credentials. I wanted results. I found those people, and I modeled them. Out of all these people that I interviewed, I developed a 60-day system for myself to get myself in optimum health and then to keep myself there. And again, I called it my living health system. I applied it to myself, and in less than 60 days, I changed my health in more ways than I thought were physically possible. First of all, I lost 30 pounds in 30 days. I'd been 38 pounds overweight. Second of all, though, my energy exploded. The kind of energy that hopefully comes through in my voice when I communicate with you, that's who I am today. That's not even close to who I was 6 years ago. The difference between who I was and who I am is like night and day. Before, I could barely make it through the day. Now, I know how to mobilize all of my abilities and resources as a human being because I start with that physical vibrancy that allows me to create the success I'm committed to. So how can you get started? Well, I'm not going to go through my whole living health system here, but I want to give you at least two simple principles you could apply immediately to increase the quality of your life and specifically your physical life and your energy level. The first key element is this. You must understand the power of breath. Listen, the foundation of health comes down to one thing. Your entire body is only as healthy as the cells that make it up. What determines how healthy your cells are has to do with one primary source of your body, and that is your bloodstream. That is the environment that every cell in your body must grow in and live in. If that's maintained, then you're going to have health. And if that's polluted, then the cells in your body are going to be weak, which means your energy is going to be weak, and you will die. So how do we maintain and control the circulatory system so that the environment remains clean and nurturing and not polluted? The answer is your breath is the control button to the mechanism that cleanses your circulatory system. Not only is breath the foundation of all life in that it gives oxygen to the cells, the things they must have to live, but it also controls the flow of lymph fluid in your body. Lymph fluid contains white blood cells that protect your entire body and cleanse the system. What is the lymph system? Well, some people think of it as the body's sewage system. Literally, every cell in your body is surrounded by lymph. In fact, you have four times more lymph fluid in your body as you do blood. Now, here's how the lymph system works. Blood is pumped from your heart through your arteries to thin, porous capillaries. The blood carries the oxygen and nutrients to the capillaries, where they are then diffused into this fluid around the cells called lymph. Every cell in your body is surrounded with lymph. Bear that in mind. The cells have an intelligence or an affinity for what they need, so they take the oxygen and the nutrients necessary for their health right out of the lymph, and then they excrete toxins. Like all living things do, your cells excrete toxins, some of which goes back into the capillaries. But dead cells and blood proteins and other toxic materials must be removed by the lymph system. And the lymph system is activated by deep breathing. See, the body's cells depend on the lymph system as the only way to drain off the large toxic materials and the excess fluid in your body, which restrict the amount of oxygen your cells can get, which they've got to have for you to be healthy. So the fluid passes through the lymph nodes, where dead cells and other poisons, except blood proteins, are neutralized and destroyed. Now, how important is the lymph system? Well, if it were totally to shut down for only 24 hours, you'd be dead as a result of trapped blood proteins and excess fluid throughout your cells. Now, the bloodstream is lucky. It's got a pump, and we call it our heart. But the lymph system doesn't have a pump, and that's something few people realize. The only way lymph can move around is through deep breathing and muscular movement. So if you want to have a healthy bloodstream with an effective lymph and immune system, you need to breathe deeply and produce movements that'll stimulate that lymph. See, when I began to look around to find out how to become more healthy, everybody had information for me on how to eat better. But in reality, you better look real carefully at any quote-unquote health program that doesn't first and foremost tell you how to cleanse your body through effective breathing. Let me give you an example. Dr. Jack Shields, who's a highly regarded lymphologist from Santa Barbara, California, recently conducted an interesting study on the immune system. He put cameras inside people's bodies to see what stimulated the cleansing of the lymph system. He found that a deep diaphragmatic breath is the most effective way to accomplish this. It creates something like a vacuum that literally sucks the lymph through the bloodstream and multiplies the pace at which the body eliminates toxins. In fact, deep breathing and exercise can accelerate this cleansing process by as much as 15 times the normal pace. How's that for cleansing a system? If you get nothing else out of everything I've talked about, but an understanding of the importance of deep breathing, you could dramatically increase the level of your body's health immediately. It's the reason why health systems like yoga focus so much attention on healthy breathing. There's nothing like it to cleanse your body. Now look, it doesn't take too much common sense to realize that out of all the elements necessary for good health, oxygen is the most critical. Yet it's important for you to know how important it really is. And I found some studies over the last 5 or 6 years that really grabbed me and really made me focus on my breathing, pay attention to it, and nurture it. One of the studies was by Dr. Otto Warburg, Nobel Prize winner and the director of the Max Planck Institute for Cell Physiology. He studied the effect of oxygen on cells continuously, and he was able to turn normal, healthy cells into malignant cells simply by lowering the amount of oxygen available to them. His work was followed up here in the United States by Dr. Harry Goldblatt. In fact, as far back as 1953, in the Journal of Experimental Medicine, Goldblatt described the experiments he conducted with a species of rats that had never been known to have malignant growths. He took cells out of these newborn rats. I mean, picture this. And he divided them into three groups. One of the three groups of cells was put into a bell jar and deprived of oxygen for up to 30 minutes at a time. Like Dr. Warburg, Goldblatt discovered that after a few weeks, many of these cells died, and the movement of others slowed, and still others began to change their structure and take on the appearance of malignant cells. The other two groups of cells were maintained in bell jars where the oxygen content was consistently maintained at the normal atmospheric conditions. Well, after 30 days, Dr. Goldblatt injected all three groups of these cells into three separate groups of rats. The results? After 2 weeks, when the cells had been reabsorbed into these animals, nothing happened with the two normal groups. In other words, in those bell jars where oxygen was maintained at its normal levels. However, all the rats in the third group, those whose cells had been periodically deprived of oxygen, developed malignant growths. This work was followed up a year later, and the malignant growths remained malignant, and the normal cells remained normal. So what does this tell us? Well, many researchers now believe, by studies like this, that lack of oxygen seems to play a major role in causing cells to become malignant or cancerous. That's the key element here. It certainly affects the quality of life of the cells, at the very least. Remember, the quality of your health really is the quality of the life of your cells. So fully oxygenating your system has got to be your number one priority. And breathing effectively is certainly the place to start. The problem is that most people don't know how to breathe. Now, I got an interesting statistic for you. Did you know that one out of every three Americans now gets cancer? Pretty scary, huh? Yet, you know what's interesting? Athletes have a totally different ratio. There's only one case of cancer for every 7 Americans who are considered to be athletes. Why? Well, these studies begin to give us an explanation. Athletes are giving their bloodstream its most important vital element on an ongoing basis, oxygen. Another explanation is that these athletes are stimulating their body's immune systems to work at maximum levels by stimulating the movement of lymph. In other words, again, they're firing off this internal vacuum cleaner that is cleansing the circulatory system. So more oxygen is getting to the cells and there are less irritants in the system. Let me share with you what my research shows is the most effective way to breathe in order to cleanse your system. You should breathe in the following ratio. Inhale for 1 count, hold for 4 counts, and then exhale for 2 counts. So, for example, if you inhaled for 4 seconds, you'd hold for 16 and you'd exhale for 8. You follow me? Why am I having you exhale twice as long as you inhale? Because when you exhale, that's when you're actually eliminating toxins via your lymphatic system. Why hold 4 times as long? That's how you can fully oxygenate the blood and activate your lymphatic system. In addition, when you breathe, you should start deep in your abdomen, like a vacuum cleaner that's getting rid of all the toxins in the blood system. Let me ask you another question. How hungry do you usually feel after you exercise? Do you want to sit down and eat a big steak after you've run 4 miles? We know, in fact, that people don't. Why not? Because during exercise, through healthy breathing, your body's getting exactly what it needs most. So here's the very first important key to the living health system. You must stop and take at least 10 deep breaths in the ratio I've just described at least 3 times a day. What's the ratio again? Inhale 1, hold 4, exhale 2. So let's just try it. Let's have you do it. Either stand up, or you can do this if you're in your car sitting down. But ideally, if you're not in your car, stand up. And here's what I want you to do. Shake your body out, get a little bit loose, stand there for a moment, and what I'd like you to do is take a deep breath in, starting in your abdomen and breathing in through your nose, and then while we do it, we're going to count to 7 as you inhale. So you're going to continue to inhale all the way up to 7, then we're going to hold for 4 times that, or 28, and then we're going to have you exhale slowly through your mouth for a count of 2 times that, which will be 14. Now, I don't want you to strain yourself on this. If this number is too large for you in terms of inhale or holding, then go ahead and let it out. You're not to stress yourself in any way. You can start smaller and begin through a period of time to build up your lung capacity. But let's go for it. Inhale, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Hold, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24, 25, 26, 27, 28. Exhale, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14. Ah, deep breath in again. Exhale slowly. Eat your heart out, Richard Simmons. Now, how do you feel when you do that? Do you feel how the circulation is going on? If you'll do that 10 times, 10 simple breaths like that, again, the ratio is the same, the numbers can change. Inhale 1, hold 4, exhale 2. Yes, if you'll do that 10 times, 3 times a day, you cannot believe what will happen to your energy level. It will explode. Because what will happen is you'll be cleansing your bloodstream, more oxygen will get to your cells, the more oxygen is there, the healthier and the stronger they are, the more power you have as a human being. I'm telling you, this can unleash your power physically. Everything else we've talked about is worthless if you don't have the physical energy to use it. So take me up on a 10-day challenge. For the next 10 days, breathe like this on a consistent basis, 3 times a day, 10 breaths. Would you be willing to go for it? If you do, I promise you, it'll transform the level of energy you've ever thought of having before.
This program is continued on the opposite side.